The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back. Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. I am Seth Leibson. Young David, it's good to have you. Mr. Bill, Miss Terry, 602-508-0960. Please, can we stop with liberal leftists who occasionally depart from their base and say occasional things that gratify conservatives? Tulsi Gabbard and Robert Kennedy Jr. at the top of my list. Anyone who says Trump should pick Tulsi Gabbard, why? What do we know of her? She's moved to conservative positions here and there, and only since she left Congress, which was just a few years ago. She's still figuring out positions, and I always distrust and think we should have a healthy distrust of those who radically depart from their positions once they are out of office. Which raises an interesting point. Do you judge someone by what they do or what they say? Do you judge someone by what they said and did when they had power and were seeking votes and were accountable for those votes, or once they no longer were? If you judge Richard Nixon or Jimmy Carter, a foreign policy maven and a home builder for the poor, once they were out of office, how complete a picture of their history, how accurate a picture of their political life would you have? And is it not true that when what many of us are saying about Donald Trump is to judge him by his presidency, almost nothing else? This was prelude to me saying, can we stop with Robert Kennedy Jr. now, too? Okay, he doesn't like the modern turn of the Democratic Party, and he's okay on immigration and some foreign policy and vaccine policy. After that, where is he on abortion, gun rights, the Green New Deal? He's with Bernie Sanders and AOC. As Charlie Kirk put it, RFK's vice presidential announcement event opened with a land acknowledgement statement of the Muwikma Olione. I'm sorry to mispronounce it if I am. It was a land acknowledgement of the Muwikma Olione Indian tribe. These land acknowledgements are used by radicals to delegitimize the existence of the United States and the people who settled it, and to demand sweeping legal and financial privileges for these tribes at the expense of the American people. As for Nicole Shanahan, his running mate, that's really his first presidential decision, one might say. And he picked her either because she's been generous in donations to his campaign or because she is a far left winger, known for contributions to the likes of Marianne Williamson and Pete Buttigieg. It's not as if she helps bring him California or has some other great ability to garner votes. Also, she's 38. I sincerely believe we need to be a little more serious about these VP picks. It is America we're talking about running here. I heard someone say the other day Donald Trump should pick Candace Owens. Please, stop. We're either a serious party that cares about serious stakes in a seriously perilous time, or we are not. Issue two, to borrow from John McLaughlin, the media. They are telling us who they are. It's long past time for us to start believing them. The New York Times can't publish a traditional Republican senator, Tom Cotton, without self-immolating and promises not to do so ever again. And NBC can't have the former chair of the RNC, as they fired Ronna McDaniel yesterday, she having been on the job a total of 5 days. Let's not dress this up any more complicatedly than we have to. The former chair of the RNC is unwelcome at NBC because she supported the nominee of the Republican Party. Michael Steele is fine over there because he denounces the Republican Party and its candidates. Support the party that represents 50% or so of the country and you're out because, as the chairman of NBC put it, no organization, particularly a newsroom, can succeed unless it is cohesive and aligned. Cohesive and aligned. Aligned? The newsroom has to be politically aligned? That's the end of the news.
Journalism schools are now, as journalism in the mainstream is now, nothing more than a conveyor belt and megaphone for the Democratic Party. Understand that and let them fall into irrelevance or further into irrelevance. Three, quote, if you watch him every day, you see how he's focused every day and how effective he is, close quote. That's White House spokesman Karine Jean-Pierre and what she said to a North Carolina radio host before she hung up when she took offense that the radio host asked her to comment on what people were asking him to ask her about, which is whether the president had dementia. If you watch him every day, you see how he's focused every day and how effective he is. That's her quote. If you watch him every day, you simply do not see how he's focused. The only video of focus we have of the president is when he walks. He's focused on his walking. Someone japed if President Biden focused on anything half as much as he focuses on his walking, we might be in better shape as a country. She hung up on the radio host because he asked about what everyone knows, but she cannot and will not admit, and she is of the view, as she will be rewarded when she is done with this tour of duty, with a job at CBS or NBC, she's of the view that the media, to the previous point, is not here to ask questions or represent the public, but to project Democratic Party talking points, even those that are simply uncredible. Political speech has, as George Orwell said, now become the deployment of language in defense of the indefensible, the justification of the unjustifiable. My chief concern on this is we are getting used to it, and it's not a healthy thing for us to get used to. Lies are not a healthy thing to assimilate and perpetrate. As the chief scientist in the series Chernobyl opens the series, quote, what is the cost of lies? It's not that we'll mistake them for the truth. The real danger is that if we hear enough lies, then we no longer will recognize the truth at all, close quote. So what happens when we no longer recognize the truth? It means, soon, we no longer will recognize evil. Now, to a lot of us, that's important. But to a lot of people, it's simply not important. That's how you get the philosophy of relativism. Cultural, philosophical, political relativism. One man pushes a woman in the street. Another man pushes a woman in the street. They both pushed women. They're both guilty. Now, if one man pushes the woman in the way of a bus, and one man pushes the woman out of the way of a bus, many of us used to think that kind of mattered. And now they're not in the same moral plane. And maybe in that very specific fact pattern, distinctions still exist. But extrapolated outward, and we seem to collapse our ability to maintain the resistance to ambiguity. This is how we become blithe to crime. This is how we become blithe to poor education outcomes. This is how we become blithe to the sanctity of our own country, be it its sovereignty and borders. This is how we become blithe to the drug-addled homeless or the drug-addled anywhere. This is how we become blithe to the male-female distinction. This is how we become blithe in international relations and support for allies and opposition to enemies. This is how we cease understanding how to distinguish between an enemy and an ally, or the importance of having them. And this is how we become blithe to human rights. And when we become blithe, we become indifferent. Indifferent. Think about that word. Indifferent. Distinctions no longer matter. We become numb. Pain no longer matters. Few things will move us because nothing matters. Nothing is important. And relativism slides into something we would call nihilism, where nothing matters. This is how we end with a whimper as we observe the dying of a culture and a civilization just a little bit more every day. And as we observe its slow death, we die a little bit every day too. And here's the saddest thing. Here is the saddest thing about all of this, and the truth. No other culture is doing this to themselves. No other culture is doing this. They have no ambiguities. It's only us. Insouciance. Not caring. It's not a good thing. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Folks, before you start a remodel, I recommend hearing from the experts first. Travic, they're the experts, and they're offering a free seminar on April 16th on the do's and don'ts when it comes to starting a remodeling project. Go to travec.com, that's travec.com, and register, T-R-A-V-E-K.com. Tina in Star Valley, my goodness, it's been forever, so shines a good deed on a sunny day. Hi, Tina.
Oh, hello. It's good to talk to you again. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, sorry.
Not at all. Go right ahead.
Yeah, nice to talk to you. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
And, you know, I'm calling to warn people against Tulsi Gabbard because I'm a Hawaii girl, third generation, and my cynical view of anybody from Hawaii, I love my home state, but they are the America's own little commie third world country out there.
Mm-hmm.
And Tulsi Gabbard, anybody, you know, anybody who is elected by Hawaii people, to me, is suspect.
Mm.
Because my people, they're not really my people, but they're sort of my people, are commies. And it's unfortunate, but true. I have dear friends on the North Shore of Oahu, where I'm from, and we joke that they are, you know, two of the 10 Democrats, or two of the 10 Republicans on the island.
Yeah, that Maisie Hirono is something else, I'll tell you that. That's the
Oh, my goodness. Crazy, crazy Maisie.
Crazy Maisie, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, she's overt. I think Tulsi is covert.
Well, Tulsi is just so, you know, I kind of want to invoke a lesson on maturation. It's not maturity, but maturation in our movement. We find someone who says something conservative, and then we just jump on that person as if they're the second coming of Ronald Reagan or something like that. And we do it to our peril all the time. And the highway is littered with them when we do it with the 25-year-olds. It should be equally resisted when it comes to someone who's been out of Congress for 3 years. What was she doing and saying when she was in Congress? And why is she doing and saying it now? If it's authentic, okay, let it mature just a little bit. Let's not rush into this. She's young. She has a long life ahead of her. But I think we've been fooled once too many times.
I do. I agree with you. And that actually brings to mind something I've thought about a lot, which is we conservatives seem so desperate for people to, you know, to come over to our side that we're willing to overlook all kinds of
things.
I mean, RFK Jr.
Another example. Right.
There you are. And his position on guns is horrible.
His position on guns, his position on the environment. I mean, up until COVID and vaccines, he was considered a left-wing Ralph Nader kook.
Absolutely.
Who doesn't even think his dad was killed by Sirhan Sirhan. He's lobbied for Sirhan Sirhan's release. I mean, the guy, and he says a good thing here and there about vaccines. I mean, he's been on the vaccine thing forever. It just turns out he landed on one that we could get on board with, I suppose, when it came to COVID.
Right.
And, you know, I got to tell you, it surprises me we seem so desperate. Why can't we take some advice from Crosby, Stills, and Nash and love the one we're with?
Yeah, really?
Why are we always so desperate to get that shiny new thing? Let them develop a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all into conversion stories, but let it work. Let it work itself out.
Well, and I'm kind of a fine one to talk because I was, you know, a left.
I was too. Ronald Reagan was too, but it took time.
Right.
They matured. It took a maturation, and
well,
then they tested themselves.
Yeah, I would say I had the conservative brain transplant executed with a chainsaw, because that's how brutal it was for me. But man, it was really important to change, and my change has been genuine. And now I'm trying to do penance for the years that I was stupid.
Uh-huh.
We're so willing to overlook such crucial, important things.
We really are.
Now, I feel that way with Trump as well. You know, the fact that Trump is still touting the vaccine being the savior of mankind. Who are his people that are keeping him from the information?
Well, I don't know. I think he's really caught between a skillet and Charybdis on this, because on the one hand, he wants credit deservedly, if you think it was a good thing, for getting the vaccine done, and that was a big bragging point for a while. On the other hand, his movement has left him behind on this, A, over concerns about it, B, over the lies about it, and C, over the mandates of it. So he's kind of in a skillet. We're just, with Donald Trump, we accept the wheat with the chaff, I think, because he has proven himself. 4 years of proof.
Right.
4 years of a great administration. Right. That we can take to the bank, I think. Tulsi Gabbard is unproven.
Yes.
Robert Kennedy Jr. is unproven. And they are showing us who they are slowly. Less so Tulsi than Robert Kennedy with his choice. But others have shown us who
choice.
They are.
I mean, like, what do we know about this woman?
Not a thing. Choice. She's made a lot of money. She's given to a lot of left-wing causes. She is a left-winger. And she paid for his Super Bowl ad. So he probably felt he owed her. And already that's... Already we're caving into moneyed interests. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, to quote Monty Python, say no more, sir. Say no more.
Know what I mean? Wink, wink, nod, nod.
I'm not dead yet.
I know the script. I know the parrot is not dead. It's just resting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's kicked out after a long squawk.
Yeah. I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. We can do this all day.
We could.
No one expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, really? Well, I will let you take another caller, and I will keep listening. And thank you so much for taking Brian.
I cut down
and
trees. I eat my lunch. I hang around in bars. Yes, Tina. I'm glad I can make you laugh.
The next line.
I didn't say it. I left it right. I'm a broadcasting professional here, Tina. I don't just say things.
Right.
I love your call. Thank you, dear.
Well, party on, sir.
How much do you hate the Romans? A lot. Okay, you're in. I'm Seth Liebson. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Liebson Show. John Dombrowski is the founder and president of Grand Canyon Planning Associates. GrandCanyonPlanning.com is his website. Great website. Encourage you to visit it. See what Grand Canyon Planning can do for you. Also a great place to reach out to him. He brings us our culture and economy update. How are you, John?
I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself, Seth? Good event yesterday?
Yeah, good event. Thank you very much. I'll say something about it a little bit later. I appreciate you asking.
Yeah.
Culture and economy kind of collides in this story young David alerted us to. Krispy Kreme donuts coming to McDonald's locations nationwide. I suppose our arteries can never be too hard, huh?
Too hard. Right? Well,
you don't
too,
want your arteries to go soft here, put it that
right.
way. Okay.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Krispy Kreme, of course, a wonderful donut chain, if you've ever had one of their donuts, right off, hot off the press there.
Yes, sir.
And they began in 1937.
Okay.
And McDonald's started in 1940.
Oh.
I believe those are the correct years.
Sounds about
so they're pretty closely aligned.
Okay.
And yes, it looks like McDonald's at this point is going to be offering Krispy Kreme donuts. They did a trial in, looks like, Lexington, Kentucky last year.
Sounds about right.
And they said it was met with great, success. And
how could it not be? I mean,
yeah.
They say they want to be known to serve snacks all day. I don't know that McDonald's is a snack, but my goodness. Now, it might, something you have been on about for as long as I've known you is the warnings of the increased minimum wages and what they can do to businesses now. California on April 1st, April Fool's Day, is going to start the $20 minimum wage. There's an interesting bakery exception, by the way. Mm-hmm. Panera Bread got a lot of news for trying to pressure Gavin Newsom as a big donor to get a bakery exception. Now, I don't think they're going to be baking the donuts at McDonald's.
I know, but what if they were?
What
right?
if they had some way of finishing them there? Would they call it? Would that get McDonald's out of the $20 minimum? It could be. David may be onto something here.
I don't know. It's interesting, but I heard Joe Biden said it's not a joke.
Not a joke.
He said it's not a joke.
But that $20 minimum wage is going to be a problem for restaurants, particularly, which have suffered hugely.
I would imagine so, right? Because, again, will they change the pay then of their employees, you know, as far as tips go and things? You know, how is all that going to pan out? Mm-hmm. It's going to be an interesting transition. We already know that things are so much more expensive in California. This is just going to add even that much, you know, more of a layer of uncertainty as to how people are going to be able to afford to live there. And again, if we look at what's happening in Arizona as far as the number of people moving here, it's really amazing, and it's driving our real estate prices higher, and we're seeing that it's harder and harder for people to afford homes because the people moving from California, you know, the homes were valued higher. They got this big check. They move here. And they think nothing of writing a check for a full price on a house. You know, negotiation isn't even an issue anymore, it seems like. So it's really, you know, gonna see how it all washes out.
Yeah, and if you're opening a business and you're deciding if, you know, where to do so, and you're in California and in Arizona, we hiked our minimum wage, but it's still $6 less than California per employee.
Yeah, a big difference.
Right?
Yeah.
It is a big difference.
Yeah.
And anyway, it's the other thing I wanted to mention to you, John, the stock market did remarkably well today, and I just want you to issue your statement that it's never too late to get in.
Well, you know, that is interesting, right, Seth? Because we always, I think we talked about this a week or two ago. You know, the market was up very sharply over the past 3 months. And I said, you know, what's that mean? Does that mean you don't get in? You wait until the market has a pullback? Well, you know, you might get a breather here or there where a day or two. We had 3 days in a row that the S&P was down. But, boy, we had a nice recovery today. And, you know, one of the things we're looking at is constantly the economic data. Now, Friday is Good Friday. Stock market's going to be closed. But there is some pretty important data coming out on consumer spending and consumer consumption on that day, even though the market's closed. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that and then what we see when the market opens on Monday based on that information. But I would say that, again, if you are invested in the market for the short term, it's probably not the best place to be. But if you are invested in the market for the long term, then, you know, that's where we start to see people really be able to build their net worth. And that's what we do. When we help clients each and every day when it comes to helping them build a good investment strategy to get them to where, get them to where they want to be and reach that all-important day of retirement. So, again, if folks want to reach out to me, schedule an appointment, go to our website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com.
Thank you, John Dobrowski.
You bet. You guys have a great rest of your week.
You bet.
And Securities and Advisory Services offered through Creative One Securities LLC, a member of FINRA and SIPC, and an investment advisor, Grand Canyon Planning Associates LLC, and Creative One Securities LLC, and not affiliated. Thanks.
Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Strolling by and walking in is our good friend Tim Andrews.
Great to see you today.
Good to see you. Tim, you were at the event last night, Fighting for Freedom event. Went well. It was so great to see everyone there. We had a listener who came all the way in from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Grady. Did you meet him?
Works for Delta.
Oh, he does?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great guy.
That would make sense.
I guess. But do you know what he did? Do you know what he did? He has sent, well, he told me he sent to young David and Teresa a pie caken. Have you ever heard of a pie caken? It's coming on at the end of the week.
It sounds delicious.
What is it? It's the turducken of cakes. The creation of top 10 pastry chef in America, Zach Young, the legendary original T-Day pie caken is a serious showstopper. Pecan pie on the bottom, pumpkin pie in the middle, and a spice cake on top, all layered together with cinnamon buttercream and topped with apple pie filling.
Oh.
Now, it sounds delicious, and it looks even better online. But it
does beg a question. Why is he sending it
to
young David and Teresa? What about the big guy's needs here? Am I just, I guess I get chopped liver. I would go for chopped liver if he sent chopped liver.
He probably was nervous to send it to you.
Why?
Because you're Seth.
I don't like cake or pie or pie cakin. The best of both worlds. Come on. We just did. McDonald's is now combining with Krispy Kreme. I can eat a pie cakin if McDonald's is going to serve donuts.
I will eat a pie cakin. And I'm looking forward to that, David, when it comes in.
Do you like donuts?
I need the call.
Do you like donuts?
I do love donuts.
I'll tell you where the best donuts in Phoenix are.
Bosa.
No. No. The best donuts are close to where you live. At Little O's on like 49th and Indian School.
I have yet to be in there.
And they hand make them. They make them right to order.
No, that's at Oso, right?
Little O's at Oso. They
make them
to order. You see a display of about 10 different kinds, and it takes a few minutes, not long, but a few minutes. And when you get them, they are hot. Hot. Mm. Some people like them really hot and soft. So I like to let it kind of
cool.
Is
this place open on...
It's fantastic.
Little I think O's. They close it early.
Let's not slander them.
Let's not slander, but I think I went there on a Saturday, and I think they close down at 3 o'clock.
I think they do, too.
Yeah.
But the donuts are fantastic. So with all this information, mm-hmm. I think you should take the sales team on an expedition down there tomorrow because it's past 3, sample them, and tell them that Mr. Liebson would like to have them as an endorser. He will sell the heck out of their donuts.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree. That's right. A great plan.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Were you upset with me last night when I took the last Diet Coke?
I don't drink Cokes or Diet Cokes. I don't drink sodas.
Mr. Gallagher loves his Diet Coke.
Well, yeah. People are going to say, well, all Mr. Donut doesn't drink sodas. Yeah. We pick and choose our vices here.
Right.
Lincoln said, show me a man without vices, I'll show you a man without virtues. By that definition, I have a lot of virtues. It's always good to see you, Tim Andrews.
Good to see you, too.
All right. You know where you're going for Little O's tomorrow?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. If you ask for a... There's a great waitress there named Jillian, by the way, you can ask for. All right, we're stacking up here. By the way, Joe Lieberman passed away, and we do need to speak about that. That's a serious passing of our scene in history, and we'll get to that in a moment. First, let's go to – oh, Rob, hold one second. Let me go to Joe in Gila Bend real quick. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Seth. Hey, thanks for what you do.
Thank you.
And I'm going to give you a great compliment because my man was Rush Limbaugh, and you are my substitute for Rush.
I am not in that league, but you are just. Well, I'll just say your compliments are.
You are
taken very meaningfully. Thank you, sir.
Are very intelligent, very articulate, very fair, and that's. I'm the justice of the peace down here in Gila Bend.
Okay, I won't cross you.
And I had court yesterday.
I won't cross you. Yes, sir. Yes, go ahead.
No, if you get a speeding ticket, you're going to see me.
All right. Slow down in Gila Bend.
Hey,
you guys have that great restaurant, the Space Age Lodge restaurant, don't you?
That in Little Italy.
Little Italy. I want to talk about the Space Age Lodge restaurant. That is a classic. That is such a classic. You probably know the history better than I do, but it's just so fun to drive by and see it. I remember there was one in Anaheim, and the guy who built it actually built the Royal Palms, which is a luxury resort here in the Phoenix area.
Mm-hmm. Stovall's.
Yep, that's it. Anyway, yeah. That's not why you called. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I'm outraged because yesterday I had to evict a couple that are elderly people, great Americans, have worked all their lives and paid taxes, and I've had, and unfortunately that there was no defense. I just, the case just had to go the way it went, and it's the worst part of my job.
Yeah, I can imagine.
The outrage is that we have illegal immigrants coming into our nation that are getting subsidized food stamps.
Yes. Yes.
Housing.
Yes. This is the outrage.
Medical.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yes. yes, if we have money to give debit cards, which is also what we're giving to them, if we have money to give them lodging, which is also what we're giving to them, if we have money to give them education, which is also what we're giving to them, and if we have money to give them health care, which is also what we are giving them, why are you having to evict elderly Americans? Exactly right. Where's the money to subsidize that? This is an incongruency that is an insult and an assault.
They've worked their whole life in the United States and paid taxes.
Which, by the way, are going to the illegal. Yes, exactly. It is an insult and an assault. It's an insult to the American people, and it's an assault on American sovereignty. It's an absolute outrage, and any candidate who's not speaking about it as a candidate, we should not take seriously.
Absolutely.
And then do something about it. My God, we have been dealing with this for way too long now. Way too long. And I don't care what anyone, I mean, I just way too long. And it's not that we couldn't do something about it if we wanted to. We have the ability. This is about will. This is about political will. And it is costing us billions and billions and billions of dollars while Americans go without health care, without housing, without education, without everything we just talked about. Joe, you're absolutely right to flag it. My heart bleeds with yours. That should be the disposition. It's not about hating anyone. It's about loving Americans. That's what it's about.
Amen, brother.
All right. Well, you are very kind. I had lunch at the Space Age Lodge on my last trip to the border in that direction when I went to that sector, the Yuma sector. And I think I misordered. But I did get a picture with the space alien, so that's a nice memory. Next time I'm out there, I'll come see you. And if you're busy, I'll just speed, so I'll make sure to come see you.
That's a great invitation.
Yeah, right I'll come there. See you. And if you're too busy, I will speed so that you can't get out of seeing me. Okay, there we go. Thank you, Joe. Keep on trucking. We'll be right back. Portions of this show brought to you by our good friends at YRefi. They offer a secure investment in a collateralized portfolio. Check them out at investyrefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then REFY.com. With YRefi, you can earn up to a 10.25% fixed rate return, and it's not correlated to the stock market or the Federal Reserve. With YRefi, there are absolutely no fees. With YRefi, you get peace of mind. There is no attack on principal if you ever need your money back. Of course, you get a monthly statement with no surprises, and you can compound your interest and income. You can turn it on. You can turn it off, whatever you like. Check them out at investyrefi.com or call them at 888-YRefi24. Rob, thanks for your patience. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm good. I'm also very patient. But anyway, I think it was Monday you were talking a little bit about Meet the Press.
Yes.
And I have to confess, I haven't seen Meet the Press since maybe the 1960s.
Not long.
I think, yeah, it's been that long. And I wonder, you know, with this whole Ronna McDaniel thing, getting fired from is it MSNBC or NBC?
NBC generally, yeah, remember. NBC.
Yeah. I
which owns MSNBC, you know, obviously, right?
Yeah, of course. If her firing, again, purely ideologically, even though she was a lousy RNC.
I know, that's the funny thing. The base didn't like her in any event. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it sounded mostly like she got fired because some of these talking heads over there were whining about, we don't want her here. And I'm thinking, you know, this is the same kind of thinking that is allowing Donald Trump to gain more and more followers by, you know, belittling or by
showing us their true colors, showing us the two different standards, because the justification was election denial. They had plenty of election denial over the 2016 election. My God, the idea that they won't broadcast anyone who denies an election in the present or in the past only works in one direction. That is not journalism. That is not news. That is lying. They are liars.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. Now, I do want to tell you, I did finally finish the Harry Jaffa book.
Okay.
The Rebirth of Freedom. And it was probably the most information-filled 500 pages I've ever read.
You are a smarter man because of it, right?
Well, yeah, and it's funny because he didn't seem to speak so much about Lincoln personally, although there were a lot of, you know, the anecdotal things between his and Douglas debates and his inaugural speech and the July 4th speech and all that. But it seemed to be like all the other people who were pro-slavery. And it didn't read like I thought it would. But
he is just such a great scholar. He single-handedly revived the serious study of Lincoln in our lifetime. Thank you, Rob. Gotta go. Be right back.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.